The after party starts
right now. Power up suits and welcome in to another episode of The After Party. My name is Will, and with me today, the one and only Nate from the Gamers Guild. What's happening, my man?
Not much, man. Just prepping for the first convention of note, locally at least. Real excited for that to actually be getting to take place at this point, I guess, with the everything that's going on in the world, so excited for that. But otherwise, man, just happy to get back on here too.
Yeah, dude, it's a pretty busy thing to setting up for NashCon and whatnot, and I'm really excited for that. I know a few of my locals here are excited for it. I know that pretty much everyone out there that is going to this thing or has an opportunity to possibly go to this thing or is just even a little bit of a finger on the pulse is very excited. And I got to give you a lot of credit for what you're putting together out there. It seems really fun. You put a really nice player packet together and everything. So I think it's going to be a really great event, and I'm very excited for it.
Yeah, well, now the pressure's on, so I just hope it doesn't disappoint.
Yeah, well, see, what we should do is try to put the pressure on AMG to be like, hey, this is the premier MCP event. Ha-ha.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Maybe we can get the wheels out next year or something. Fingers crossed.
That'd be amazing. So, Nate, before we get into our main topics today, I did want to go ahead and acknowledge the fact that we know that there were some spoilers, but we're saving that for next week's episode. We're going to do Dr. Voodoo and the tactics cards, and probably Hood or Dr. Strange, I guess, would be probably Hood, because he comes with Voodoo.
Probably Hood.
So there you go. So we'll see Hood probably later this week or maybe early next week. So we will make sure to share all of that with y'all. And also make sure to check out the 3-box challenge that we're doing. I have a match coming up against Sploosh on Saturday the 14th. So that would be this Saturday. So be sure to check that out. I'll make sure to be streaming that if I'm able. And it'll probably be up on a YouTube somewhere if that happens. So make sure to check that out. Nate, when's your next match?
I don't know. I played this week's, and then I guess I guess you have to finish your match, and we'll see who is left at 2-0.
Yep. It's definitely not me. Definitely not me. So how did your most recent match go?
It was a little bit of a dud, mostly because of some turn zero decisions by my opponent, who was off and on here, Alexa, and a misplay that was just a couple of millimeters short of getting what they needed out of that. I did Web Warriors, Alexa chose the Secures, and with her kind of like taxi strategy, she didn't want to give me Infinity Formula, but she also discarded Meteors, which is the one that I think that they really wanted to be able to play.
Yeah.
So we ended up going Extremis, which is to my benefit. I brought Spider Infected, and just kind of from there it cascaded where turn one I was up 6-3.
Mm-hmm.
And then they conceded before round two scored.
Woof. You were just all about it, huh? Just beating them up. I can't believe it.
No. As a matter of fact, she beat me up. ASM died to a double tap from Loki, of all people.
That's crazy, dude. That's crazy.
But just the positioning of the board, and she kind of ended up abandoning one flank, which let Miles and Black Cat both be holding Spider Infected, sitting on Extremis consoles by themselves.
Nice. Wow. Well, that's pretty awesome. Yeah, that's a pretty big point swing there, and shout out to Alexa. I'm sure it was still a fun game. She's a great opponent.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's awesome. That's awesome. Sorry, Alexa, if you're listening, that you ended up with an L on this one. But we'll make sure to, if I get to play Nate, I'll get revenge in your name. With that, speaking of people that like revenge, Nate, what are we talking about today?
We are doing the classic after party and we are still in mutant season.
That's right. So we're talking about Wolverine and Sabretooth. I figured this would be a good one. We did Storm and Cyclops last time, so bringing out Wolvie and the Tooth just makes sense right now. And we're going to start with Wolverine, Nate. And before playing any games, what were your thoughts on this character?
I thought he was going to be an insane damage output piece. But that was kind of it. I thought he was going to be doing plenty of damage. He's got some defensive stuff, but his lower energy and very low mystic attack leave him hurting. But healing factor 2 is real good.
Right, and you meant his low mystic defense. But I'm with you on that. Like, I thought, like, oh, man, he can really ramp that damage up really good. You know, adamantium slash with a bleed and a pierce, super great. Having a charge functionally in the form of best at what I do would have been really good. And having the wild count as 2 successes. And, you know, I remember when we talked about him originally when he was released, it's like, oh, man, imagine if you roll all wilds. It's like, yeah, but that's not really going to happen.
No, but like it makes the attack super reliant on a wild, because that's where you get your pierce, that's where you get your double success. So even if you go in and like roll an average 2 hits and a crit, without a wild, that's still a pretty mediocre builder.
Right, and not only that, but you spent your 3 power that you were hoping to get back on adamantium slash. You know what I mean? So like. It's to me, I'm with you. I think that the best at what I do has some really great potential, but with the way that dice flow in this game, it's always kind of limited, in my opinion. And like, you know, when you can throw him with some rerolls and stuff like that, like it gets a little better, but still you're only looking at the 1 out of 8 side on the die that's going to have that wild. And it's kind of what he needs to get going, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
I would think, like, that's just kind of how I look at it. Like, and if you whiff and you don't get the 2 successes, or you don't get at least the power back to do best at what I do again on the following turn, well, then you're kind of hurt, in my opinion. Like, it's kind of difficult to get moving with it, with him. Mm-hmm. And he's got some things that I think are good. And once I got the games in with him, one of the things that really stood out to me is that 7 stamina on his healthy side really is hard to chew through.
Mm-hmm.
And when we obviously have this big mystic wave coming, so Wolverine is going to be very sad when that happens. But I think the majority of the attacks in the game are still these physical attacks, and him having a 4 physical defense and the 7 stamina, and then turning off certain throws with his adamantium skeleton, is kind of nice.
Yeah, no, overall, his kit is very good. Berserker Barrage, the Spender, I think is wonderful. He ends up being very mobile because of the best at what I do, and Berserker Barrage both give him mobility in actions, his attack actions.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a size 3 throw attached to it as long as you deal damage. And on a 7 die, more than 50% of the time, you're going to be dealing 1 damage to somebody with that.
Exactly. Exactly. And let's not forget, I think one of the unsung things about this character that is really nice is his immunity to stun. It's mm-hmm. probably the one thing that surprised me when I got the games in, more against him than with him. Like, I've played a few with him, but it was more against him. That it's like, there's not a lot of stun out there per se, but at the same time, when you have a character that puts out stun, you just want to put it out everywhere. And Wolverine being immune to it is just, it's so nice. It's so nice.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it is worth mentioning, on the other side, things that he has going for him. The Wild Rage is,
yep.
Again, it feels very much kind of the same risk-reward of the best at what I do, where, like if he lives, he can do some really disgusting things on his injured side.
Right. And when I've played those games against him and with him, what I find happening is everyone tries to get Wolverine to his injured side, and as soon as he's on his injured side, it is pile on city, try to get him off the board because you know he's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I feel like that it's one of those characters that you have to kind of address if you're going against him, right? Like, you kind of have to know where he is on the board, know what he's doing, because he does have that threat to pop off. But then if you are going to go into someone, if you kind of just go into him a little bit, you're going to leave him with a ton of power and potentially on his injured side. And if you don't finish him on his injured side, it is nasty.
Yeah, the damage that if you aren't able to finish, basically you get extremely punished if you cannot finish Wolverine off in a single activation, or if and he hasn't activated himself.
Exactly.
Because even if he's just taken, let's say, 3 damage, well, suddenly that adamantium slash should be hitting that wild very consistently at 8 dice.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's able to just start tearing through people, and then he has healing factor too. So at the end of it all, it's like, oh, I've still got 4 stamina left.
Yep, exactly. And that's just, to me, what's crazy about him. But have you ever seen that pop off in that way?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I've never been able to get it to work that way. It's always that I am damaged to the point where I'm out, or I'm able to do the necessary damage to my opponent's Wolverine to make that not happen.
Well, Wolverine has a couple of tactic cards that can basically force the good stuff out.
Oh, yeah.
One of them is No Matter the Cost.
Yeah, so No Matter the Cost allows you to spend health in place of power. So using that for Berserker Barrage, spend 2 health plus his 1 power he starts with, you get a Berserker Barrage off turn 1. Now,
I'm more so thinking on the injured side. Just save it, and then you're like, cool, here's a 10 power or a 10 strength Berserker Barrage, and then the follow-up Adamantium Slash gets to also do some solid work.
Yeah, so that's what I was going to talk about next is, with that No Matter the Cost, and then you also have his exceptional healing card, which he can use as well, which is really nice to keep him from spiking off the table. Do you feel like that the narrative around Wolverine was such initially that it was use No Matter the Cost, Berserker Barrage early, and then after that just hope you get some more work out of him? Like, because that's what I felt like that the narrative was with Wolverine early, but I like what you just said there, and that's how I ended up playing him a little bit, was saving No Matter the Cost for when he was on his injured side. But it's kind of risk-reward if you do that, because if you don't have priority and you end up getting taken out unexpectedly from a dice spike or whatever, well, then you're in trouble, you know? So
mm-hmm.
It's just one of those things where it's like, I really like that, but it is definitely risk-reward to do that. But I think that would be a stronger play overall than trying to do that turn one. Because while Wolverine is tanky enough to be in the fray and 7 health on his healthy side, 4 physical defense hard to get through, he's not immune to an entire team piling onto him. And that any character is going to have a hard time with an entire team piling on if you just put him out there. You know what I mean?
Yep, and especially, again, we've got more and more mystic attacks coming into the fray, whether that's Moon Knight, whether that's Blade, or any of these new Convocation characters that we are slowly getting a trickle of spoilers for. Wolverine's going to melt to any of those.
Exactly. So we've been talking kind of about what he does well overall, and let's just kind of put it in a nice, concise way. What he does well is he can kill things pretty good. I don't think he's as good as Killmonger at, like, single target elimination, but mm-hmm. he's really good against those kind of middle to lower threat characters, and he can kind of take those out pretty decently. And he, like you said, is surprisingly mobile when he gets going, but you have to make an active choice with him, I think. And it's, generally speaking, you either have to do Berserker Barrage or you have to do the best at what I do. And generally getting both off in one turn without some help from tactics cards is a little difficult, I've found.
Yeah, if you're lucky, you'll get the best at what I do, and it'll go off pretty well, and it'll get you some power to let you chain into Berserker Barrage. But that's if things go well.
Exactly.
And
so,
I guess that kind of leads me into what I think his major downside is, and while he's a little bit more tanky than Killmonger, and what he's able to accomplish, he's extremely dice reliant.
Yes.
Like, not just in the normal sense of like, oh yeah, like he doesn't have any dice modification. It's wilds or nothing almost with what he's able to do.
100%. And with characters, again, I think a fair comparison is Killmonger, who can rack up some tokens to allow him to get those extra benefits, you know, the kill count tokens. He can, if he double attacks a character, he gets extra stuff. So, like, that kind of helps accomplish what Killmonger wants to accomplish, whereas with Wolverine, he's got no help to get him to that point of popping off, so to speak, I guess would be the way to put it, right?
Yeah.
And I think that that's just a little bit of a misstep overall. Like, I think he's still a great character, and if you're listening to this and you feel like we're poo-pooing him, I'm definitely not poo-pooing Wolverine. I think that he's still a fun character on the tabletop, and I think that when you get him going and you kind of see what damage output he can do and you kind of get those lucky dice, at the end of the day, it is what it is. It's luck. And if the dice well for you, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a good time. But you have to understand that you're going to have to take the good with the bad, and he's, like you said, Nate, so dice-reliant that there's going to be bad. You're going to roll, like you said, on that best at what I do, two hits and a crit. And now you don't have a wild, and it's like, well, you might not even get the power back now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you just got to take the good with the bad with Wolverine, I think.
Yep. I still like him. He is, if your opponent puts him on the table, or if you put him on the table, he is a priority piece. That is a piece that you have to watch out for, deal with appropriately, because if that Wolverine's dice do well, I said doo-doo,
ha-ha. You said doo-doo, ha-ha.
He is absolutely worth his every bit of his 4 threat, up to the level that some of the really solid 4 threats are. And it's one of those pieces, I don't know if you can choose to ignore him on the risk of him suddenly popping off.
Yeah, and the thing is, he's got enough mobility built in that he's kind of hard to control as well. So, You know, I mean, any character with a charge is hard to control. And best at what I do is functionally a charge, but he also has the Berserker Barrage, which is range 3 and then place within 1. So you kind of have, like I said, you have to make a choice about which one you're going to use. But either way, he's got some mobility that makes him a little better against some of these more control-oriented things. And then to piggyback onto that, you put him in the right affiliation, and there's more fun things that can happen there. Speaking of, Nate, let's talk about affiliations for a second. And I think that he plays really nice in X-Force. I like him better there than in X-Men, more or less, because I think that him getting that reroll on his attack die at least helps get those wilds flowing, potentially. And then he has access to, if you want to do some kind of crazy turn one shenanigans, you can cat and mouse him up a little bit to give him the range to potentially get that Berserker Barrage early, or best at what I do early with some, you know, additional power help to get a midline attack in on someone when they're not expecting it. Like if they come to grab a middle objective, it's pretty nice. So I kind of like that. And X-Men, though, Storm's leadership, he really gets nothing out of it. I mean, being able to have
a little bit of extra speed never hurts, but it's also not going to just flip the tables or anything.
Exactly. And then with Cyclops, I feel like that Wolverine kind of wants his power. So Cyclops is nice because you can play him with Field Leader, which Field Leader works really well with Wolverine. But other than that, in terms of leadership-wise, it's just okay. I think him being able to interact with objective tokens with like a first class is good. When you talk about the tactics cards included, and then to me, my X-Men can work really well with him. I've had that be an interesting way to reposition him nicely to get him in line for a nice attack. But overall, I don't particularly love him in X-Men affiliation, but I do like him in X-Force quite a bit. What about you, Nate?
Yeah. I mean, he is also affiliated with Defenders, which gives his attacks a little bit more punch because it takes him off the only physical game plan and lets him go for other targets' weaknesses, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
And if Wolverine gets started, he's going to be very difficult to stop at that point, because once he has the power to spin for the attack type change and everything else, it just kind of snowballs. But I can also see Wolverine doing very, very little if that power ball does not get rolling.
100%. 100%.
And then Avengers, there's not too much to say. I haven't tried him in the Sam Wilson list, just because you're really wanting those three threats and lower most of the time. But Steve Rogers, there's one superpower, brings it down to two power, so it gives you a turn two charge.
Yeah.
But hopefully by turn two, you're already in range to be doing some of that kind of stuff, so it's not giving Baron Zemo-esque like turn one charge unless you advanced R&D, and then you're doing a lot of stuff just for a turn one charge for Wolverine.
Right. I think you definitely have to think about what you're trying to accomplish with him when you have him on the tabletop. Like, he does play objective decently. Like, any extract or secure that's kind of going to create a fight, I mean, he's good for that. And the more spread out scenarios, you can kind of put him on a wing as long as there's no Mystic across from him and feel okay about it. But to your point with Sam Spam, I do have to mention, like, I do think that Wolverine has play with the Sam leadership, because being able to heal, he has already got the built-in healing factor, but that's only on after his turn. So if he takes some damage through there, then he can heal that back up before he activates again, which I really like the idea of that, right? And then that saves you for some no matter the cost shenanigans, and then being able to reposition him and get him into that more threatening area, I think could be really interesting. And I'm with you in that you want more three threats than anything, I think, with the Sam Spam list. But I do think that there could be some really interesting potential there with him in that, and I might have to try that out pretty soon. But are there any other affiliations that you think that Wolverine would slot well into?
Man, there's just so many at this point.
True that.
I'm gonna go with... Not particularly, especially right now. Like, if we were maybe still in like the first 6 months of the game, but there's just so many other characters where, like, yes, if you want to use Wolverine, throw him into your criminal syndicate, throw him into your cabal, and he has some stuff.
Right.
But at this point, those affiliations just have so many options at four threat that can do similar things, but be in affiliation or do them and something else, that I think X-Men and X-Force are where you're most likely to see Wolverine.
100% agree. And I think that's okay at this point in the game. I think it's okay that not every character slots in everywhere. But I also am just a teensy bit disappointed that Wolverine doesn't have more of that like universal appeal, because he's just such an iconic character, you know?
Yep.
So, Nate, what's your favorite question?
I don't know about favorite, but I certainly do like to ask it, I guess.
Exactly.
Do you think Wolverine has gotten better or worse or stayed about the same since his release?
Oh, man. I think he's gotten a little worse, honestly. And part of it is because there's unreleased things that we have to factor in. But Mystic is about to see a big come up. A big come up. And we've seen with other characters that have two defense values, whatever, you know, whatever that is. So, like, look at Venom as a good example, right? Venom has a two defense on energy. And if you can shoot him from outside of range three, you're fine, right? But if you end up within that range three Venom bubble, Well, then you're in trouble, right? If you don't finish Venom at that point, you're going to have a hard time. Whereas with Wolverine, he doesn't really care what range you're at as long as you have that Mystic attack type. So if you can change it to Mystic or with this new Mystic wave, I feel like Wolverine's just going to have a hard time seeing the table and feeling confident, especially from a competitive perspective, that you're going to get the work out of him, because these new characters can attack at these different varying ranges, and they have a tactics card that allows them to attack from a ridiculous range. So I just feel like that he might have a hard time, again, especially competitively going forward, but casually I think he's just fine. But I do think he has gotten a little worse. Like, you could have said that X-Force made him a little better, but then everything else made him a little worse. Like, with X-Force, he's got access to Pretty Sneaky Sis, which is a good card, but that you don't necessarily see played often. And when you do see it played, it's such a heavy investment, because each X-Force character has to spend 2 power in order to get the attack me from range 2 or you can't attack me benefit. And if you're spending that 2 power on a character like Wolverine, who really wants his power to charge, it's kind of tough, in my opinion. So, so again, like, I think he got a bit of a boost with X-Force, but with this new wave that we've seen, it's kind of down again. So I think
it's only getting harder and harder for him to see the tables.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that was a long-winded way for me to say he's gotten worse, but, like, what do you think?
No, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think X-Force was a nice little boost, give him another place. The biggest thing it does is give you a better excuse to bring exceptional healing, because then you've got Sabretooth, you've got Deadpool, you've got Wolverine, who all have that healing factor, who can really just go the extra mile with that card. But as a whole, just we've also since then had Cable himself has a Mystic attack, Sinister, Scarlet Witch, and now we're just getting into more and more teams that are going to be filled with, or at least have options. Moon Knight has a Spender that's going to hit him real hard. Blade's whole kit is Mystic, and just down the list we go of things Wolverine does not want to see.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's unfortunate, but it is what it is at this point. So let's talk about his nemesis, if you will, I guess.
Absolutely.
Was it nemesis? I mean, they were friends and they're enemies and they're friends again. I don't know.
They're frenemies.
Frenemies. There you go. The frenemies, yeah. It's the one and only Sabretooth. And Nate, before playing any games with Sabretooth, I had this feeling like he was going to just be unstoppable. Like, he was going to be a decent objective player, but also be able to just murderate everything, and that his clapback, Untamed Force, was going to be disgusting. Like, I thought that it was just going to be like, don't mess with Sabretooth because he is going to wreck you. Time. Mm-hmm. What about you?
I was down on Sabretooth at the time of spoilers and everything else, because as a Brotherhood player and somebody who loves Magneto, Sabretooth has no place in Magneto and lists and what Magneto was trying to do and accomplish.
Fair point.
And so I was just kind of like, well, what's he even doing here? And the games that I played him, he wasn't awful, but he also wasn't excellent for me.
He wasn't excellent.
He was not excellent.
Yeah, so it's funny because I've played a good bit of him at this point, and once I got those games in, I was very, how do you say, whelmed? Like, I wasn't overwhelmed with how good he was. I wasn't underwhelmed, but I was just whelmed. Like, I was just kind of there. And he's a really interesting character, man. Like, I think as I've gotten more exposure to him, as I've played with and against him a lot, shout out to Ross locally if he's listening, he's played Sabretooth very well. And he's another character, though, that is very dice-reliant, but he's dice-reliant in a different way than Wolverine is. Like, Wolverine, you need one specific result to feel good about it, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas with Sabretooth, you don't really need the Pierce, per se, with this Wild. And with his Savage Predator, the Wild and the Hit, pretty easy to get the finisher on that. So it's more just like, if you're not getting the rolls to be average or even slightly above average, it really feels bad with him. Because he's a character that everything he does is range 2. So he's got to be right there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do get there and your dice just fail you, it hurts, man. Let me tell you.
Yeah, and I think to kind of summarize, I guess, our thoughts, honestly, on both of these characters and why so many people are down on Wolverine and Sabretooth and some of these other very damage-dealy focused characters, it's because at 4 threat, to be so reliant on dice feels bad. I think you can do that at 3 threat and have a damage output character like War Machine, who, like, man, if his dice rolls are bad, that sucks, but it's not the end of the world. But when we have these other 4 threat characters that have good defensive tech, throws, can make multiple attacks, looking at Vision, Medusa, and the like, Sabretooth and Wolverine and their overall impact on the game state is really reliant on their dice, and which we have played them. We enjoy playing them.
100%.
But man, if those dice fall through on you.
Yeah, and Sabretooth is one of these characters that, again, Ross and I have had a really good conversation about this, because I'm overall down on Sabretooth. Like, if you want to, like, boil it down, overall down on him. And he and I talked about it, and it's like, well, why are you so down on him? And I'm like, well, you know, he's fairly easily controlled. I mean, aggressive is great, but if you shoot him from range 5 with a Shuri or something, I mean, you don't care about that. But if you throw him, that's great. You know what I mean? Like, he's easily controlled in that way. You can work around him. He doesn't have a charge, so all of his attacks being range 2, he's got to move in order to get there, and then he gets 1. And you're either going to use No Mercy with a Claw Slash, or you're going to use a Savage Predator type kind of thing, like, you know, in terms of where his power generation is, right? And So I don't like a character that is designed to be all damage all the time that I'm only going to get 1 attack with most turns. Now, I will say what I've noticed with him, playing against him more so than with him, is he's one of those characters that if you don't deal with him when he's right next to you, and that's either by getting away or by attacking him, if you don't deal with him and get him out of the picture, it can be devastating. Because once he's in there and once the fight is happening right there, it can be bad. And he can just murder everything. I'm not even joking. I've seen it happen a couple of times. And it's just, but you've got to, you know, you got to play that the right way with him. And he's another character that I feel like is, you look at the card and you feel like, get in there, get that meat grinder rolling, right? But In my experience, if you just run him right in there and expect him to hold up, you're in for a world of disappointment. Because he doesn't have the defenses that some of these other characters have, and you might get 1 good turn out of him if you just run him up in there. So you've got to play a little bit more coy with him. Having the long move is nice, but he definitely can go down a lot quicker than you think, based on my experience anyways.
I think what I can point to, something that I wish they would change, it's a small thing. It wouldn't make him suddenly crazy. I wish No Mercy was reactive.
Oh my gosh, yes. Tell me about it.
because that makes Untamed Force a lot more relevant than just a five dice attack. It means that the finisher, that granted if Sabretooth manages to have seven power, but if you get that finisher attack, you could then No Mercy onto that. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, I don't feel like No Mercy is that great, because if Sabretooth is having to attack into a character, like he moves up, he attacks into a character, well, if that character doesn't already have any damage, like No Mercy isn't doing a lot, and even if they only have one or two damage on them, like two dice for three power, I guess, is kind of the going rate that you see on Storm and Iron Man's similar abilities. But it's very dependent on these other things, so mm-hmm. just I don't think making it reactive to when you attack, similar to what Zemo or I guess Loki have on their dice modification, attack modification abilities, I think that it wouldn't have done anything too crazy.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I think that it's one of those things where it kind of would get your understanding of the flow of the character going a little more, because it's easy to read No Mercy and think, oh, I just get to add dice for damage or whatever, but it's one of those things that requires the setup, and if you don't have the setup, then like you said, it's kind of just feels bad, and then he's got nothing to spend his power on except Savage Predator or Untamed Force if he gets attacked. So yeah, it's just really interesting. And what he does well, though, like, I mean, all of this, again, to bring it back into the concise thing, if you put him in the meat grinder and he holds up, right? Like, he withstands an attack there, get ready, because it's just, he can really pop off. He really can. Being able to have that Savage Predator into a claw slash is really nice. It's really, really nice and can put out a lot of damage. But the thing is, you just have to factor that in. And in terms of what his faults are that he doesn't have the defensive ability to kind of stand up to some of these other things. And then, like you said, with what you're spending your power on, No Mercy, like, it's just kind of a little frustrating in terms of how you have to spend that power and everything on him. In terms of his faults, I mean, would you agree with that, Nate?
Yeah, I think that lines up pretty well.
Yeah, so he's a really good character. He's a fun character. I've had some fun with him lately, but at the same time, it's just if you don't get the damage flowing with him, then it just kind of feels bad, because like you can use him as a bit of a weird objective runner, but you're committing a four threat character to kind of grabbing objectives and moving around the board when he doesn't really want to be doing that, you know? But in terms of affiliations, Nate, where do you think Sabretooth fits best? He's affiliated with X-Force, Cabal, and Brotherhood.
I think he is fine in Mystique's Cabal, because she is already kind of a mobile character, and the leadership cares about objective stuff, which Sabretooth consequently can do kind of neat things with. But I think if anywhere out of those, I would like to, it's that weird thing of like, I'd like to see him in Cabal, but I'd also probably usually use Killmonger before Sabretooth.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, if I've got a four threat slot that I'm putting in Cabal and I'm standing there looking at Sabretooth or Killmonger, well, I'm going to have Killmonger. One, because I know I can get two extra VPs out of Killmonger. You know, I mean, like that's 100% the reason to take Killmonger over Sabretooth right there. Like, if you just look at their kit, they're similar, different, but similar. And Killmonger has the charge, which you like for the mobility. Sabretooth doesn't. And that's fine. But, like, in terms of what Killmonger is going to be able to bring to your team, he's going to bring you two victory points potentially, but it's pretty good. So yeah, I'm with you there. For me, he's really good in X-Force. I really like him in X-Force. I say really good. I've seen him be really good in X-Force. I've also seen him whiff egregiously in X-Force. In the last tournament you had in Nashville, I had him in my X-Force list, and you know, I had the play everybody expects everybody expects you to put cat and mouse on cable to get cable up the board that range to kind of threaten that middle area. It's strong. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. It's really strong. Nobody expects you to use it on Sabretooth, because what ends up happening when you put it on Sabretooth is you move Sabretooth up that range two. His long move gets to where literally any character, if there's a middle objective, any character that is contesting or goes to grab an extract from that middle and can't get away, Sabretooth can attack them, and it's a pretty good attack. Like, you know, being able to get that claw slash, put that bleed, and then maybe a wild pierce, all that stuff, it's pretty nice. I really liked that kind of threat of having Sabretooth right there. And again, if you've got a middle control area, having Sabretooth go up, maybe you're able to kind of incinerate people with cable ahead of time, and then you activate Sabretooth and start claw slashing. Pretty nice. So that kind of thing with Sabretooth, putting him in X-Force allows you some additional flexibility with him that I find to be really interesting. And again, the problem of him getting there, pretty sneaky sis is good for him, but at the same time, again, you're using that power when you want to be using it for other things. And
yeah, I don't think getting there is the problem, because he's got the long move, he's got the aggressive, but it's him getting there and then doing something relevant.
Right, and that's what I mean more than anything. Like, you're right in that long move plus aggressive makes it to where he's going to get where he wants to go, but it's just what you said, doing something relevant. And then additionally, X-Force, you get the one reroll on an attack, which, if you're going for Savage Predator and you didn't roll a wild, feels really good. Or if you didn't roll a hit, feels really good, which would be super weird, but, you know, just X-Force makes his kit a little better, but still, again, and I didn't say this with Wolverine, but it also rings true, you have a 5-threat leader with X-Force, so you have to kind of account for that when you're roster building, when you're squad building, that your leader's 5-threat. So you're committing a good chunk of your total threat allotment, if you will, to a character like a Wolverine or a Sabretooth, because very rarely are you going to have both of them. You can. Don't get me wrong. You can do that. I've done that. It's interesting. It's really interesting to have two guys that run up the board up there in the middle, in the thick of it, and then Cable back there just blasting people. Very interesting. But it's one of those things that it's kind of hard to do, in my opinion, because it's just, I don't feel like that's how X-Force wants to play. X-Force wants to kind of try to stack those rerolls as much as possible at times, try to play back at times, and then you've got Wolverine and Sabretooth that are just up there in it, and if your opponent can deal with them, then you're just in for a bad time. So, at least it's in my experience. But again, I think Sabretooth plays a little better in X-Force than maybe even Wolverine does, just in general. I think that Sabretooth brings something a little different to that squad as a whole. You know, being able to attack out of turn is really nice and whatnot, and you can aggressive and then Untamed Force, which is really nice and catches people off guard.
Mm-hmm.
So, just food for thought there. I think other affiliations that he could fit into, it's like we said with Wolverine, you know, there's plenty of places that you could put him, but you've got to ask yourself, is he worth it there over an in affiliation or another more versatile 4-threat? I mean, I don't see a lot of Vision played these days, but Vision certainly has a lot more versatility than a Sabretooth does right now.
Yeah, you're just not playing against a lot of Sam Spam.
This is accurate. But I'm just saying, like, you know, there's room for Sabretooth to shine in this game, and he's another character that having access to exceptional healing is really nice, because then if he does take some damage early, he can use that exceptional healing to hopefully save himself there. So, yeah. I mean, Nate, what about you? What do you think about affiliation-wise?
I think if anywhere he's going to shine, it's probably X-Force. He's in affiliation, the other affiliation option at four threat, I think, is just Wolverine at this point.
Correct.
And I, between the two of them, I personally like Wolverine more. I think he's been a little bit more of a reliant damage dealer for the games that I've put both of these characters on the table. But I can see Sabretooth with his aggressive and Untamed Force. It's a really nice combo that I hope we get to see on other characters going forward. But I don't know if that combo justifies the lack of some of the other things that I think we would have liked to have seen on Sabretooth.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think if you give Sabretooth a throw of any kind, even if it's just size 2,
Even if it's attached to Savage Predator.
Yeah. Any of that would have been, I think, where he would kind of tick up in utility for me. And he's a character, again, like, I've played a lot against him lately. I've played a lot with him lately. And I like the character. He doesn't always work for me, and he doesn't always do what I want him to do or what I need him to do. He seems to always work great against me. But maybe that's just a me problem, you know? But
yeah, no, I mean, I've had similar things in the draft league that had happened, man, like, feels like almost a year ago at this point. Sabretooth did absolute work against my team, but Ronin ended up just clubbing him back with... it's one of those things where, like, no character should be completely discounted because they can all still do work.
100%.
And if you're just playing to have fun or do whatever you want to do, these two are characters that are just like very solid B tier area of being able to be good. They do what they can be designed to do. No, I think that kind of summarizes it.
I think it does. So, Nate, the Nate question.
Where do you think Sabretooth has fallen? Because he doesn't have that exact same issue of Wolverine with the low Mystic Defense.
Yeah, I think he's gotten better. I think specifically him... So, again, from release to now, the X-Force situation has made him better. One for one, he's better. Like, go ahead. What are you going to say?
No, I mean, I completely agree. I think where Wolverine has the downside of just a big vulnerability and more characters are coming out that can exploit that, Sabretooth doesn't have an explicit vulnerability there. Mm-hmm. We don't see a ton of characters coming out with more push or throw superpowers that would push him away, that kind of ignore the aggressive side of his kit. So I think X-Force has made him better, and there's not really been anything that detracts from him.
Exactly. So I think that about sums it up really well there, Nate. And with that, Suits, make sure to, if you're out there listening, to check out our Facebook page, leave us a like, leave us a follow, all that good stuff. We post updates over there. I really enjoy interacting with everyone over there. It's been a lot of fun when these new spoilers drop and whatnot. We get on there and have some nice conversations. Everybody talks about what they think the cards are going to be like and how great or how terrible they think something's going to be. It's been a lot of fun. Also, if you're interested, you can check out our Patreon. It's patreon.com/houseparty protocol. It's $1 a month, so 12 bucks a year, to come out and chit-chat on our Discord and everything. And we have some nice conversations over there. And if anybody ever posts anything, it's kind of like a, hey, I need some help with this. What do you guys think? And everybody just kind of reacts, and we have some fun and just chit-chat and stuff. And it's just been really nice interacting in that way over there. And I really appreciate all the patrons over there. It's been really great. And I also am working on a custom Patreon reward thing where it'd be like a tier that you back for one time, and then you can change it, and then you get like a customized reward. So we're working on that. I think that's going to be pretty fun. So make sure to check that out if you're interested. Also, send us emails at housepartyprotocolpod@gmail.com. You can send us messages on Facebook. Anywhere you want to interact with us, we are there. Nate, where can people find you?
As always, I am over on YouTube at the Gamers Guild. do variety of battle reports, character reviews, and other content that hasn't really got to see the light of day as frequently because AMG is just cranking out these spoilers like madmen.
Oh, they are blessing us and cursing us all at the same time, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, they're blessing us with the spoilers, cursing us with the release schedule.
Yeah, that that lines up pretty well.
It does, it does. So, yeah, make sure to check out Nate. Really love your content over there. And also, we will be doing updates from NashCon when that happens in just over a week. 2 weeks. Right?
Week and a half?
Week and a half, yeah. So just over a week. Ha, there you go. I was right. So, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm real excited to get out there and meet everybody. Suits, if you're listening to this and you're coming to NashCon, hit us up. Let us know. I know the schedule is, what, Nate's dice roll at 10, right?
Yep.
And then 4 rounds that night?
I wish.
Okay. 5 rounds that night.
5 with also the first cut of top 8 happening that evening.
Okay, so lots of MCP that day. Holy moly, that is tight scheduling. Wow. So, yeah, if you're in Nashville and you're not top table like me, then we're going to have some drinks after that's all said and done. So, yeah, make sure to hit us up and we'll be having a good time. I am sure of it. So, yeah.
Absolutely. No, feel free to come out, pop in. I know some people after the first few rounds are going to drop and want to do other things. Not to mention Friday is also just a day of open play. So if you're in town, $15 gets you an entry in and you can come talk shop, maybe even get a game in.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. If I didn't have to work, I'd be there that day too. So with that, though, party on, Nate.
Party on, Will.
And power down, Suits.